May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The crowds following Jesus have just witnessed a miraculous sign. Last Sunday, we read about how Jesus fed the 5,000 with fresh and abundant bread and fish. And this Sunday, the crowds that ate this bread and fish and were satisfied, they have followed Jesus, they have tracked him down, and found him far on the other side of the sea, despite his good attempt to shake them. Jesus actually performs 7 important signs throughout the Gospel of John, 7 major miracles that are meant to reveal just who he is to the people. Changing water into wine, healing a royal official's son, healing the paralytic man, feeding the 5,000, walking on water, healing the man born blind, and finally, the big one, raising Lazarus from the dead. The feeding of the 5,000 is sign number 4 out of the 7. What we read from the Gospel of John today and over the next 3 weeks is Jesus' interpretation or reading of this sign, what this feeding of the 5,000 really means, what it reveals about who he is. It can be pretty easy to misread signs sometimes, can't it? Have you ever been out on a road trip or maybe even in your own neighborhood and you encounter some construction and there's one of those big yellow signs, but you can't quite decipher what it means? Well, this week, Dan and I misread an important sign. We misread a sign while we were on our way to a checkup for the baby. We misread the sign of the gas gauge in our car. Now, it seems like the sign of this gas gauge has gotten a bit finicky. We saw that low fuel light come on, and we figured from past experience and the information in the car manual that we still had many miles to go before we totally ran out, and we were just a few miles from the appointment. And if we stopped, we'd be late. We'd stop for fuel on the way home. We misread the sign. About 2 miles from the appointment, our car sputtered to a stop, and we were left to wait for roadside assistance and reschedule the appointment for another day. If we had been reading that sign carefully, we might have remembered that lately, it seemed like our car was taking on more fuel than we expected when it said it wasn't quite empty yet. That maybe the car was a little bit emptier than we had realized. Maybe the sign was not quite what we were reading. Well, so too are the crowds following Jesus misreading his sign. And Jesus calls them out on this a little bit. Very truly, I tell you, you are not looking for me. You are looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of those loaves. You're looking for me because you have full bellies now. Do not work for food that perishes, Jesus says, but for food that endures for eternal life. They are looking to get their bellies filled again. For them, the sign of the feeding of 5,000 is all about the food. Now, I don't really think Jesus is scolding them here. In one way, the sign is about food. Jesus cares deeply about making sure that people are fed. We hear an awful lot about the importance of feeding and caring for our neighbors throughout our scriptures. But when it comes to the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus also wants them to look for something more. This sign is not only about feeding. It's about something lasting, something deeper and more sustainable. But it's difficult to focus on that when you have an empty belly. The crowd that Jesus fed that day was not full of wealthy merchants or city leaders. They were the poor. We know this because the Gospel of John tells us that the loaves he multiplied were barley loaves, which is the bread of the poor. So, the people ask for more signs, for greater works. They seek something like that manna they've heard that their ancestors ate in the wilderness, asking Jesus to provide them with their daily bread, which they are so much in need of. Jesus cares deeply about people being literally fed, but here he also wants them to look for something more. Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. What does it mean to have that true bread? Not the barley loaves of the miraculous feeding, but true bread from God, true bread from heaven. I've been reading a lot of books about babies lately. That might not be a surprise. I've moved on to that stage of expecting where I've gone from the pregnancy and the labor books to now I'm trying to figure out what do you actually do when this kid is born? How do you keep him alive? What are you supposed to do? And one of the recent books I have been reading has been all about breastfeeding and nutrition. Getting your baby fed and nourished in those early days and weeks and months of life. What I've learned, even over and above all the great tips and insights and medical knowledge out there, is that getting your baby fed and nourished is about way more than getting your baby fed and nourished. It's about establishing a relationship. It's about teaching your baby about trust and love and companionship. It's about making sure that your baby feels secure and confident and well cared for. It's about comfort and contentment and reassurance. It's not only about being fed and nourished. So it is with the bread of life. The people who witnessed the signs when Jesus fed the 5,000 with abundant fresh bread and fish, they may well believe that following Jesus is all about being fed and nourished. They can certainly be forgiven for thinking so. But to believe that the feeding of the 5,000 is only about feeding is to misread the sign. The sign actually points not to a food source, but to a relationship. The bread of life is not only bread, but it's a person, Jesus himself. In the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus shows the people the kind of relationship that he wants to establish with them. That's what he reveals about himself in this sign. He's teaching them about trust and love and companionship. He's making them feel secure and confident and well cared for. He's teaching them about comfort and contentment and reassurance that no matter the ups and downs of life, whether their bellies are full or they have gone hungry, whether their earthly relationships mirror that divine relationship or not, the true bread has been sent by God from heaven. And the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. When Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty," he is talking about more than being fed and nourished in our bodies. This is a relationship that will sustain the people even when earthly food runs out, a relationship that will grant them abundant life here and now and for eternity. A relationship is much more complicated than a food source. That's what all the new mothers in the books are telling me anyway. But a relationship is more fulfilling, too. When has a relationship in your life provided you with sustenance beyond mere daily bread? When has your relationship with Jesus, the bread of life, provided fulfillment in times when it seems like your stomach or your heart or your life were empty? In what ways are you searching for food beyond what you need in daily life right now? How might we, as followers of Jesus, be this presence for one another? The bread of life is that which lasts, which nourishes, which is a relationship beyond, between us and a heavenly parent who seeks to provide us with trust and comfort and care. With the crowds, we might well misinterpret the signs from time to time. But a relationship is not built on always having the right answer. With them today, we might well pray, "Sir, give us this bread always. Give us this bread that is you, Jesus." Thanks be to God. Amen.